Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We're delighted to welcome back Mark Stale, CEO of First Class Metals. Welcome back, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Phil. It's been a while, but it's good to be back on board in more ways than one.
Absolutely. I, to be honest with you, these days, Mark, I just look on your Twitter X feed to see which part of the world that you're actually in. And this time I note it was Thunder Bay. You're either holding gold spodumene or, I think most recently in the photograph, it looks like a pickaxe. You've gone full action man on us this time.
Yeah, it's been a crazy busy schedule, I must admit. I got into Toronto Thursday night. Quick stay over there, then up to Thunder Bay Friday. I met with the First Nations as soon as I got here to do the PR and explain to them about selling Enable and McKellar, because I've spent 2 years building up these relationships with 6-7 First Nation groups, and I certainly don't want to jeopardize those. So yeah, first meeting I had was with the First Nations. Then Saturday it was the mining fair here, so I went and talk with some peers and service providers there. Then in the afternoon, I was up to Strong, which is the nearest town to where our Zigzag project is, because the First Nations there, White Sands, had invited me to their powwow. So I was at the powwow. It was just incredible, the dancing and the singing and just the general atmosphere. Yeah, then back down to Thunder Bay Sunday for various meetings. And today I'm heading over to Manitouage, which is the nearest town to our North Hemlo and Essa projects. I'm doing 2 site visits over the next couple of days there. Then more meetings with the First Nations. Yeah, then back to Toronto for some meetings with the various institutions in Toronto. So, yeah,
brilliant.
Action man one day, corporate man the next.
But let's talk about the recent announcement. Obviously, the company has commenced the field work. Key activities include reviewing and sampling new INSCO and historic Terra X core at the Sunbeam property, commissioning a high-resolution magnetic survey for the Kerr's Gold property, submitting an exploration permit application for the Zigzag Critical Metals property, applying for the Ontario Junior Exploration Program, OJEP, for the North Hemlo, and conducting a reconnaissance trip to the Quinlan Lithium property, planning a stripping program for the Dead Otter Trend, and ongoing prospecting at Cocoa East. You highlighted the rapid progress and promising outlook for the field season. As I just said, sounds like you've been very busy, Mark.
We have. I mean, the suspension went on far too long, but we weren't idle during that period, yes. And it culminated as soon as we knew we were coming back on board and we'd done the deal with 79th. I jumped on a plane to come out here to start looking at the field work. So, yes, we were busy in the background. I think the OJEP application, again, we've been awarded it 2 years in a row. So let's try and make it 3. Yes, the review of the... I was with the Ontario Geological Survey here in Thunder Bay yesterday. I forgot to mention that one. And we were looking at the Sunbeam area, because this idea that the porphyry might actually host the gold as well could be a game changer. So I think that's really exciting. The core samples are going into the lab this week, so we'll get those back in, well, might be a month, but let's see. So Sunbeam is looking really interesting. I've met with the First Nations of Zigzag, as I say. They have no problems at all with the application for the new permit, so that's going along well. Yes, and we're talking to the First Nations this week about the stripping at North Hemlo. So it really is go, go, go. Yeah.
Very good. Mark, tell us a little bit. I mean, because it looks to be from the announcement that you've sold 2 of the projects, I think it was 270,000 sterling, that the model has been proven. I presume those 2 projects didn't cost you £270,000. So give us a bit of background on, yeah, what you spent to get them in the first place, what they've then been sold for, and also some info then on the extra money that you borrowed for and what was it for.
Certainly. It's hard to quantify what they cost us, because what happened was, Kevin, they came with the Power Metals deal. These were 2 properties that were in the Power Metals deal. And really, we did that deal to get North Hemlo. So the value was in North Hemlo, the flagship property, and these were like add-ons. As far as what we've spent on them, we've only done one field trip to Enable, which was actually, no, that's not true. We did two field trips. We did lake sediment sampling last winter, and then we did the soil sampling and reconnaissance work last year, where we found the 7 grammar. So we really enhanced the property with that. So very little field work, very little cost on Enable. We have done 3 trips to McKellar. One was helicopter supported, which was quite an expensive one. But having said that, it gave the property longevity for all through this year. And then we did 2 small sampling programs on the rare earth. So again, nothing particularly intense on either property. So the sale for those for 270 does come at a significant premium to what we've actually spent on them. And as I say, as far as the cost is concerned, our attitude was the cost with power was for North Hemlo.
And yeah, so these are just the add-ons that were involved.
Yep. I mean, I always like McKellar, and I think 79th Group can do well with McKellar. It's a nice property, and it's one that I would have looked forward to exploring going forward. And, of course, they're both permitted. So they're both drill-enabled, shall we say. So they have picked up whereas maybe they're not advanced projects, they could very easily this field season be brought to a drill ready status. So I'll be very keen to see how 79th carry on. And obviously I've said to them that if they need my support as far as First Nations or technical in the transition, then I'm prepared to do that. And I've also introduced them to Emerald Geological Services, who did the geological work for us. And they're interested in meeting with them to see what continuity there is there. As far as what we're going to do with the money, well, you know what our attitude is, Phil and Kevin, is that at First Class, we try and put as much money as we can back into the ground. So money will be spent on exploration. As I say, we want to do the preparation for the stripping at North Hemlo. I'm doing a couple of site visits this week to look at other areas such as Essa to see what we need to do there. We've completed the core review of Sunbeam property. We'll be putting those core samples in for analysis this week. We hopefully in the next couple of weeks, it could be the end of June, we will be doing the survey over Kurs. That's helicopter-borne, low-level, high-resolution magnetic survey, focusing on the historic area of the drilling, but covering the whole property as well to some extent. So there's a lot of balls in the air, some activity actually ongoing, whereas other stuff that we've planned.
So I'm going to bring you back to Zigzag, because I remember that a few times, maybe 2 or 3 interviews ago, we were talking about that was going to be not up for sale, but it was, you know, on the market if anybody was interested in the lithium projects. So how's that been going?
We haven't pushed that at the moment. It is in the data room, and it has been reviewed by one company particularly. But with the lithium price being rather depressed at the moment, we haven't pushed it. And one of the reasons is although people have come to me to talk about the purchase or a deal, shall we say, on Zigzag, the talk has been paper, and we want to monetize it.
Yes.
And as you can imagine, if we took paper at the moment of a stock that was a good stock, but its price was like First Class's at the moment, off its high, shall we say, to be kind.
Yeah.
Then the amount of paper they would have to issue us in order for us to get what we feel Zigzag is worth would be a significant indent into their share allotments. So no, we haven't gone off the boil with our enthusiasm for Zigzag, but we're just not pushing it as a sale item at the moment. Hey, that could change tomorrow with the lithium price. And I met one of the neighbors, shall we say, on Saturday, and I'm meeting another one next week who are always interested in talking about Zigzag. So the interest is there, is real. And of course it's real. I mean, the results we got from the drilling were stellar. Who wouldn't be interested in it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just, I think the market conditions at the moment aren't quite right. And that's why we're focusing on the Sunbeam property, gold, North Hemlo, dead otter trend, gold, and also Essa.
Yeah. So are you seeing great potential in some of these gold projects then? And obviously from the point of view of the gold price, where it's hard for some of these not to be economical at this sort of gold level, but How do you see that panning out over the next sort of 12 months?
I am seeing interest, and I've got two confidentiality agreements signed with two different companies on our gold properties. So the interest is real.
Okay, good.
Obviously, I can't disclose who that
yeah,
they are.
Yeah. But no, absolutely not.
There's people in the data room. We've got CAs signed. Yes, the interest is real, and we just maintain our attitude about pursuing this business model. I think you like the Leçon curve idea of pushing it up the value, and that's what we're doing.
And there's no doubt. And I suppose that's the next question is, I mean, I'm quite sure you've been very busy just like you are now over the last few weeks, even though the shares have been suspended. Are you looking yourself at other projects that you can continue to move up the Leçon curve?
We're always looking. I've got a meeting with a prospector in Marathon in the next couple of days about some of his projects in the Hemlow area. We're always looking. And I had a really good session with, as I say, at the Geological Survey here in Thunder Bay yesterday. And they're going to give me a crash course on how to go through their archives. So again, I can review projects when they're brought to us. So yes, of course. And that's why we picked up KERS. But then KERS is a slightly different one, Kevin, because of course that does have a compliant resource on it, which has sort of changed First Class's stature, shall we say, in the exploration profile, in that we've gone from pure greenfields exploration to now we have a project that has a compliant resource on it. And that's why I wanted to push on with this survey, the magnetic survey, so we could try and better understand the potential extensions.
What is the job report? Or job resource on KERS then as it stands?
378,000. I'm sure somebody will correct me, but it's shy of 400. But yeah, it's not too shabby.
Is that at depth or is it fairly shallow? Or what is the situation?
It is at depth, but it has a plunge. And that's another thing about the survey that I hope will give us an idea of, is there an up plunge continuation? And if there is, where might we find it? I mean, we're still to wade through all the historic data. Although we've been busy, there aren't enough hours in the day for us to do everything. And where possible, we try and do stuff in-house as opposed to outsourcing it.
So the hope is obviously to expand that, yes?
Yes.
To expand that resource and then see where you go from there, effectively, to add value to it.
Yes, but to expand, you've got to understand. And I mean, you look at Silver Lake Resources next to our Sugar Cube, I mean, which was the Hart gold mine. It's the only plus million ounce gold mine in the area outside of Hemlo itself. I mean, they've put the mine on care and maintenance. Why? Because they've gone back to look at the rocks to understand the mineralization before they do any more drilling. I mean, you've got to understand it.
Yes.
I mean, yes. And KERS isn't at surface. It's not going to be the cheapest drilling. It's not like Dead Otter, which has 19.6 grams at surface. So a 50-meter drill hole will give you, one would hope, some significant encouragement. So you've got to understand the geology, the mineralization, and the structure. And that's why when we do outsource stuff, we try and use people that are cognizant of the area as well as the style of mineralization, so we can get the best bang for our buck.
Yeah, all sounds very interesting. And I mean, I had this discussion with somebody else. I think it was Cobra Resources. They have a JORC gold asset as well. And we were talking somewhere in the region of $100 per ounce is what it could be worth, and possibly more based on the gold price. So you're talking about with 380,000 ounces, maybe $3.8 million for this project. Now, you obviously didn't pay anywhere near that. No, so now to expand this and to look at where you're going with the other projects, and you've got a market capitalization of sort of 2.5 million or less, you know, I think there is a lot of intrinsic value that you're going to be building as you move these things up to the Leçon curve. We look forward to you doing that, but also being a Mark Sale and going out and finding some rock.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm paid to do, run a company. And because of my technical background, I'm not going to say unique, but I think I'm in a position whereby, having trained as a geologist, but now in the C-suite, I can form that very important interface between the Emerald Geological Service people out there on the ground, I can understand what they're saying. If somebody comes to me with a resource model and they've done use kriging as opposed to nearest neighbor, I can understand what that's telling me. But also, I can pick up the phone and talk with people like yourself or potential investors and present to peers and our potential acquisition partners, shall I call them.
Yeah. And I think a big part of what you've been doing, obviously, is your First Nation stuff is going to really pay dividends, I think, down the line. These people are going to be helping you a lot, I think.
Absolutely, 100% agree with you. That's why I say, Kevin, I got off that plane on Friday, having traveling for 36 hours and met with the First Nations, because I wanted them to hear it from me as opposed to secondhand. And we don't actually have any claims now in their traditional lands, but that's not the point. We've spent time setting up this relationship. And I'm invited to another powwow on Friday with another First Nation group. And it's just a great opportunity to further those relationships of transparency, honesty, and keeping them informed.
Yeah, sounds good. Listen, we look forward to catching up with you again in the not too distant future, to bring us up to date with what's going on, and welcome back to the market.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Kevin and Phil. Yeah, always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Mark Sale, CEO of First Class Metals, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.